Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUSCast. I'm your host, Grace Batchling. On March 3rd, 2020, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments for the case of Liu v. Securities and Exchange Commission. At issue is whether the Securities and Exchange Commission may seek and obtain disgorgement from a court as equitable relief for a securities law violation, even though the Supreme Court has determined that such disgorgement is a penalty. And now, to discuss the case, we have Todd Bronstein, International General Counsel at Willis Towers Watson.
Securities and Exchange Commission has had a rough run of it in recent years when litigating cases at the Supreme Court about its remedial authorities. In 2013, in Gabelli versus SEC, the court rejected the SEC's attempt in certain cases to toll the statute of limitations for seeking civil penalties. The commission lost that case 9-0. Then in 2017, in Kokesh versus SEC, the court held that when the commission seeks disgorgement in federal court, it is subject to a 5-year statute of limitations applicable to penalties. Once again, the commission lost that case 9-0. And the Kokesh case fairly clearly foreshadowed the next battle over the SEC's remedial authorities. Justice Sotomayor's opinion for the court in Kokesh included a footnote stating that the court was expressing no opinion on whether courts have actually have underlying authority to order disgorgement in SEC enforcement proceedings, or whether courts have properly applied disgorgement principles in SEC enforcement proceedings. And this footnote meant that a challenge to the SEC's authority to seek disgorgement in federal court was inevitable. And hence, it was no surprise last fall when the court granted cert on that very issue in Liu versus SEC. And as Micah mentioned, the court held oral arguments in that case just yesterday. And although the Kokesh opinion itself took no view on whether the SEC has the ability to seek disgorgement in federal court, several of the individual justices had expressed such a view during oral argument in Kokesh. Indeed, no fewer than 5 of the justices asked counsel in Kokesh whether such authority existed and where it came from. And some of them were notably skeptical that the authority existed. For instance, Chief Justice Roberts commented that the SEC, quote, devised this remedy, without any support from Congress, close quote. Justice Gorsuch was even more skeptical. He observed of disgorgement that, quote, there's no statute governing it, we're just making it up, close quote. So coming into oral argument in the Liu case, given the recent history of lopsided losses and the skepticism of some of the justices in Kokesh, the deck did appear to be stacked against the SEC. But that was actually the surprising thing about yesterday's oral argument. If the questioning was any guide, many of the justices actually did seem to accept that there was a good statutory basis for disgorgement in federal court. Indeed, there even appeared to be something of a consensus, something approaching a consensus among the justices, that the authority for disgorgement existed, and the only question was how to fashion that remedy appropriately. Before getting into that, let me discuss some of the background to this case. Disgorgement is defined as a remedy in which the defendant is forced to give up ill-gotten gains when he, you know, engages in some kind of wrongdoing that offends the rights of another. Disgorgement has been one of the SEC's most potent tools, both in federal court and in the SEC's own administrative proceedings. For example, in fiscal year 2019, parties to commission enforcement proceedings, both in federal court and administratively, ordered to pay $3.248 billion in disgorgement as compared to just $1.101 billion in civil penalties. But despite its widespread usage, there is no statute that expressly authorizes courts to order disgorgement in SEC enforcement actions in federal court, or rather, no statute that authorizes it expressly in those terms. Disgorgement orders first appeared in SEC enforcement actions in the late 1960s and early 1970s. And that was a time when the only remedy the SEC had express authority to seek from the courts was an injunction. And although there wasn't an express basis for courts to order disgorgement, a number of courts ordered disgorgement anyway in what they called an exercise of their inherent equity power to grant relief ancillary to injunctions. And that theory, under which the early courts in the 60s and 70s ordered disgorgement, obviously is an expansive reading of judicial power that has obviously fallen very much out of favor in American jurisprudence. And as a result, the SEC certainly was not relying on that theory in the Liu case and in other lower court cases. Instead, the SEC pointed to some statutory language that was enacted in 2002 that gives them the power to seek in federal court, quote, any equitable relief that may be appropriate and necessary for the benefit of investors. And the SEC's argument, although this doesn't specifically mention disgorgement, their argument that it covers disgorgement goes something like this. For a period of decades, beginning again in the 60s and 70s, courts did order disgorgement in SEC judicial proceedings as an appropriate exercise of their equitable authority. Practice was very common and was affirmed by a large number of courts of appeals, and of course was supported by the commission itself. And whether those decisions were rightly decided or wrongly decided, they form an important backdrop for the various statutes that Congress enacted in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s that laid out the SEC's enforcement, or that defined the SEC's enforcement regime. And hence, according to the SEC, the authorization for, quote, any equitable relief that was enacted in 2002 should be understood as including disgorgement. And in further support of that argument, the commission noted that the Supreme Court itself has described disgorgement as an equitable remedy, and it pointed to examples of Congress classifying disgorgement as an equitable remedy in analogous statutes for the Commodities Future Trading Commission. The commission also, in its argument in the Supreme Court, noted that there are other statutory provisions in the scheme governing the SEC that explicitly refer to judicial disgorgement. For example, Congress enacted provision that prohibited private attorney's fees awards from funds that were disgorged as a result of actions brought by the SEC in federal court. So a provision that very clearly, explicitly presupposes that there is disgorgement that is available in federal court. And the SEC argues that in order to give effect to that language, the phrase any has to be read to include disgorgement in federal court. And finally, the SEC pointed to history. It observed that historically, courts sitting in inequity had the ability to grant a remedy called an accounting, which required wrongdoers to surrender profits from their wrongs. Argued that disgorgement is simply the modern form of accounting, and as a result, when Congress used the phrase, quote, any equitable relief, it very plausibly could have been understood as authorizing disgorgement in federal court. The petitioner, Mr. Liu, attacked the SEC's reasoning by arguing, obviously, that disgorgement can't plausibly be derived from authorization to seek equitable relief. And his principal argument was a syllogism that relied heavily on the 2017 decision in Kokesh. First, the court held unanimously in Kokesh that the SEC's disgorgement remedy was a penalty. Second, equitable jurisdiction does not authorize penalties. You can't use equity to obtain penalties. And therefore, the phrase equitable relief can't be read as authorizing disgorgement. So regarding the first prong of the syllogism, Kokesh held, again unanimously, that disgorgement in SEC actions bears all the hallmarks of a penalty. First, the SEC disgorgement is imposed as a consequence of violating a public law, as opposed to a wrong against an individual. Second, the court observed in Kokesh that SEC disgorgement is punitive, designed to deter. And third, SEC disgorgement is not necessarily intended to compensate a victim for losses, but instead the funds that the SEC collects frequently go to the U.S. Treasury. So that was the basis on which the Kokesh court found that disgorgement is a penalty, and Liu argued that if there was a penalty there, it's a penalty here. Regarding the second prong of the syllogism, Liu relied on extensive authority that equity doesn't aid in the enforcement of penalties, but rather its goal is to provide a compensation or restore the status quo. Even apart from the Kokesh decision, Liu argued that the phrase equitable relief can't encompass disgorgement and spent a lot of time kind of tracing the history of equity courts awarding accounting or disgorgement, saying that that essentially whenever courts would do that, it would only do so in certain narrow contexts. For example, when there was a fiduciary relationship between the party that had been wronged and the party that had been ordered to disgorge. And so it said equitable relief hasn't been understood historically to encompass quite the modern day SEC disgorgement. And Liu also argued strongly that removing the SEC's ability to obtain disgorgement in court would not have much of an impact on the SEC's ability to regulate financial misconduct. He pointed out that the SEC can still obtained disgorgement in its administrative proceedings under an express grant of authorization, and that in judicial proceedings, even if it loses the ability to obtain disgorgement, can still obtain civil penalties equal to the gross amount of a defendant's pecuniary gain for certain categories of violations. So those were the arguments of the parties. And as I mentioned, at oral argument yesterday, there was really very little jousting over the SEC's core claim that the Congress's use of the phrase, quote, any equitable relief in 2002 created a disgorgement remedy in federal court. A lot of energy in the briefing on that issue, but actually very few questions from the justices attacking that premise. In fact, to the contrary, a number of justices asked counsel on both sides, you know, how the court should fashion the disgorgement remedy under the assumption that it rejected Liu's argument that the remedy doesn't exist. Interestingly enough, one of those justices was Justice Gorsuch. As I mentioned before, he observed during the Kokesh argument that, quote, we're just making it up when it comes to the judicial disgorgement remedy. But 3 years later, having had the benefit of briefing on this subject, Justice Gorsuch asked several questions that indicated his interest in how to fashion a workable and principled disgorgement remedy. In particular, he asked several questions of both sides to test a possible rule that the SEC should, when it gets money in disgorgement actions, the rule should be that it should really seek to return it to investors where that's possible. But Justice Gorsuch never explicitly questioned the SEC's core claim that the disgorgement remedy does actually exist in the first place. Justice Alito took a similar approach to Justice Gorsuch. He asked, you know, wouldn't disgorgement qualify as a traditional form of equitable relief if it were limited to the net profits obtained by the wrongdoer and if every effort were made to return the money to the victims? And Justice Kavanaugh, in multiple questions of both parties, also indicated an interest in the answer to this question and even referred to quote, Justice Alito's two conditions, the net profits condition and the returning money to investors condition. And meanwhile, Justices Sotomayor, Ginsburg, and Kagan all asked questions indicating some degree of sympathy with the SEC's core position that Congress had authorized disgorgement in federal court. In short, I mean, I think the questioning during oral argument was actually fairly lopsided in the sense of being more skeptical of Liu's arguments than the commission's arguments, and really, with a number of questions, taking as their premise that there is a disgorgement remedy, and assuming that is the case, what do we do with that? The government's lawyer had long stretches where, you know, he spoke without interruption from the justices, and he even ended his argument with time to spare because the justices had no further questions for him. So there's always the usual caveats about predicting the outcome of cases from oral arguments. Those caveats invoked as usual. I do think it is safe to say that the Liu case will mark the end of the commission's run of unanimous losses at the court concerning its remedial powers. Seems like there'll be at least a few votes for its position. And I would go further and say it wouldn't surprise me at all if the commission pulled out a win in this case. It does seem likely that there will be some language, if not an express holding, saying that the court will expect district courts or instruct district courts to order the SEC to make best efforts or reasonable efforts to compensate victims, to allow defendants to deduct reasonable expenses. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if they do uphold the commission's position on this and allow them to continue seeking disgorgement in federal court.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.